1, 2, 3. All right, Rob Shooter, Garrett here. You are listening right on iHeartRadio to the number 71 ranked podcast in all of the iHeartRadio land.
How is that possible?
We need to put that on a t-shirt.
How is that possible?
We should put it on a t-shirt.
Hey, thank you for listening. We started this podcast a couple of years ago as just two friends. We're the oddest couple. We should have nothing in common. We really shouldn't be mates. And we became friends very quickly. We started this podcast, and the fact that you are listening to it, thank you.
We
thank
appreciate
you. It's a joy.
You know, CBS rebooted The Odd Couple already, so maybe we bring it to like a streaming network, maybe like Amazon or Netflix. Right.
I think we're more Jurassic Park than Odd Couple.
Chris Pratt Jurassic Park?
No, I think we're dinosaurs.
Jeff Goldblum Jurassic Park.
The original.
All right, so Rob Shooter, you are a busy bee.
It's a fun gig. So I'm a gossip columnist and running around town trying to get gossip and stories and lots of stuff happening. What do you want to kick off on?
Well, first, let's talk about the fact that your husband is doing something pretty amazing that many hope to, some never get to do, others get to
see amazing,
a show.
It's amazing.
Your husband is putting on a freaking Broadway show.
He is. The reason I've got a sore throat today is I was up late last night, not drinking, unfortunately. Bruce is having auditions. So Bruce and his songwriting partner, Barry Manilow, that guy, you might have heard of him.
Uh-huh.
They wrote a musical, and it's taken them a process to get it to New York. It's coming to New York in February, and they're in the middle of auditions right now.
That's awesome.
Last night.
Tickets on sale now?
Tickets on sale. Oh. Harmony, newmusical.com. And so... they had auditions last night, and I'm so lucky. I have nothing to do for the show. I have no business in it. But they allowed me to sit in on the auditions.
Exciting.
And I'd never seen anything like it. I felt like I was in an episode of Fosse Verdon. Like it's exactly what you see. It
did very well at the Emmys.
It's a big, scary room with a piano and a table at the front, like American Idol. And there's 3-4 people sitting there, and these actors walk in, and they sing 16 bars of a song. And then they read several pages of the script, and then they're told to, or asked, please wait outside for a couple of minutes. And then somebody comes out and tells them either goodbye or hang out for an hour and you'll do a dance audition.
So
it was like Fame.
You being the fly on the wall for a Broadway audition,
yes.
Essentially, in your mind were you going, no,
I got told off all the time because I wanted to clap.
Hey, you in there, shut up.
Every time someone came, I was the Paula Abdul of this. I was so into it and I'd never seen it before. And in life, when you get to experience something really new, it's really fresh. And so I sat there with big eyes, and every time someone came in, I was like, oh,
I love them.
Oh, she's great. And the cast is, I think, of like 1920. I would have cast 75 people. Like, it would have been grand opera. And so I just was, it's amazing. But you know what? It's a really good lesson out of this, though, too, is that we audition every day, maybe not like that, but
right.
for job interviews.
That you don't know about,
or we
yeah,
go,
of course.
And it's so interesting. You're on from the minute you arrive. So there's somebody that sits outside the audition rooms, an assistant with a pen and paper
right.
and a clipboard, and she reports back everything you say outside to the people inside.
Interesting.
So when people come in, there was one girl who came in and was like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't even like theatre. The lady outside, the assistant, made a note of that and passed it on to the people inside. When I worked for Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo used to always say, the minute she left her house, her apartment, she was J-Lo.
100%.
In the car, she was J-Lo. In the elevator, she was J-Lo. And she was not J-Lo until she got
home.
She
walked back in the house.
It's fascinating. The other thing, too, is the people that are going to get offered the parts are not just talented. They fit into the puzzle.
Of course.
So often in life, you go for an interview and you don't get the job and you're devastated and you think you're not very talented or not very good. It's not true. They're looking for something and there was people there that they loved. There just wasn't a role for them.
If it was a different show
yes.
at a different time.
Or if it was a bigger budget 100%. And they had like 100 cast members.
Like Jerry O'Connell.
Brilliantly talented.
Brilliantly talented. Probably he was top 4 or 5 to get the job that Ryan Seacrest has right now with Kelly Ripa.
Yes.
So he was great.
Great.
Talented. Looked good on TV. Just didn't fit what they were
looking
for.
And part of the reason is ABC was looking to do a deal with Ryan to keep Idol and to keep all this stuff. So Ryan had an advantage. Ryan's very talented.
As he always does on many of us.
Yes, but it was a big deal he had with the network. So you're not going to beat that. I went up for an interview recently.
Yeah, where were you? Yes.
He's doing a morning show. So he's doing a morning show here in New York, and they asked me to go into audition for it. And I went up to 30 Rock. He's part of NBC Universal. And I went up there and did like a conference call video, and I did a tap dance. From the minute I walked in the door,
I've seen the Rob Shooter tap.
I could put on a show.
It's the equivalent of walking into, you know, when you walk into your house and it's the lights are all off, and
boom,
all of a sudden the lights turn on, and now it's your house.
There you go.
That's Rob Shooter.
I will put on a show. So I did my tap dance, and now ultimately I was good.
Right.
If they're looking for a British guy who's 46 years old, I'm going to get this job. If they're looking for someone that's 22, who's blonde.
I would have put you at younger. I would have put you at like 40.
46?
No, I would put you. I know.
I love being 46.
I know, but I would have put you at 40. I'm going to be 35 in a few weeks.
And I would have put you at 12.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, that's an awful thing to say.
That would have been awkward, me and you hanging out.
That's a very awkward thing to
say.
But it's such a good lesson, because I do know we all go on interviews. We go on job interviews. We go on dates.
So do you think you got the job?
And, no, I don't think this is the right fit for me. But what it is E wants to do a whole 24-hour of live programming.
Kind of like CNN.
So just the fact that they now know who I am, I'm not going to get this job, but I'm going to get another. A really interesting Broadway story. Ben Platt, who became a star from Evan Hansen, and now he's in The Politician, he has an album out, he auditioned for a show years ago and he didn't get it, but they remembered him. So when the songwriters, when the creative team wrote Evan Hansen, they were like, oh, remember that kid we saw 5 years ago?
He was in Pitch Perfect.
That's how they found him.
Yeah, he was like a background actor, a small role in Pitch Perfect.
Because you've been here so long, like, what is it now, 15, 20? How long
going on 17 years.
So you've not really been on a big job interview in 17?
I've done auditions for things here and there.
Do you get nervous?
You tend to, because it's new, and when something's so new, you tend to don't know what to think and expect it, but I've learned you just kind of have to go in there, kind of, like you said, turn it on and own the room.
You turn it on, but be yourself.
Oh, of course.
And like, so I'm a 50, maybe I'm a 50% more heightened version of how ridiculous I really am. So I don't pretend to be somebody else, but I do turn it up a notch.
Right.
Maybe several. Maybe too many notches.
Well, let's jump into some things that are happening right now. Let's start off with the Demi Moore book that pretty much is throwing Ashton Kutcher under the bus.
Yeah, I don't know if it's under the bus or just telling the truth. Like, we were talking about this yesterday in my office.
I get it's telling the truth, Rob, but at what expense? She's benefiting off of it. She's making money off of the story. Ashton Kutcher's relationship, it's the equivalent of the ex that wouldn't let go.
I hear that.
I feel that.
I feel like this is her story to tell. This happened. I believe every word of it. And I think that I'm happy she told it. I think it's really cathartic to tell your story. Could have she told it to her therapist or her girlfriend?
Right, exactly.
Yes. Did she have to do it in a book? I don't know about that.
And how does Ashton Kutcher play it off?
Like, well, we're talking about that. What should he do? So yesterday in my office, we had reporting that he will not respond. So
he can't.
He can't respond. But he's been asked. Everyone's calling him. ABC, every network wants to sit down with Ashton. It'll be interesting next time he does press for a movie or a TV show. This is all anyone's going to talk about. I predict he will never speak about this. He was almost yesterday. He sent out a tease of a tweet. Did you see this?
No.
He said, I nearly posted a snarky tweet. However, I just looked at my family and my wife. And
that's the thing. Like, you know, that's why I say it's the equivalent of an old relationship, your ex holding on to the past. It happened, six years ago, where a lot of things have happened in the middle of that. People have grown. Yep. People have moved on. People aren't the same person as they were five, 6 years ago.
In her defense, because at the moment, all we've seen is the excerpts from a book. So when you write a book, the most juicy stuff gets leaked.
Well, you got to sell the book.
I'm told if you sit down and read the entire memoir, it's much more in context, and it's her whole life. Like, she talks about being so poor as a child. She talks about abuse, what her mother did. She talks about being raped. I mean, it's an extraordinary, honest memoir. And I think, you know, Ashton was a big part of that. It'll be interesting to see how does he respond. What would you do if somebody comes at you, an ex comes at you with the truth?
Right.
Let's say, comes at you and tells stuff that you did that you shouldn't be terribly proud of. Do you respond or do you ignore it?
See, as I've been thinking about this situation, I've learned you want to get in front of it, but at what expense?
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't say anything, it tells a story.
But not saying anything is a response. Like, that is a response, too. It's like when people come at you on social media. Do you? I want to fire back right away.
Sometimes,
but part of me is like, oh, I make it worse. I make it big. Like, I don't know. I'm from the school where I don't punch back that hard.
I don't punch back that hard, except when you get close to the family and friends. Like, our friend and, you know, boss, Elvis, got married. And, you know, there were some articles here. He was in freaking People, and it was fabulous.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it looks beautiful.
So the, I'll call him out by name. The Staten Island Advance posted a great article. They did the great job.
Elvis's husband, Alex, is from Staten Island, so that makes sense.
As am I. And boy, am I ashamed to be from Staten Island.
Why?
So once you post things on Facebook, you know how it works. People can leave comments. Oh. The derogatory dummies, idiots that, you know, everything from gay memes to saying the F word, just stupid stuff where if you're listening to this right now and you're from the Staten Island Advance, if those comments aren't deleted, you should be ashamed of yourself as a reporter. And if you are listening to this and left those comments, you're a dirtbag. So,
It's very, very tricky. And people say awful things. It's awful. It's truth, though. Let me be honest. On my website, naughtygossip.com, you no longer can comment.
Right.
I deleted the comment
section.
It's
the best way.
Because what happened is all the people that wanted to comment were bombarded by this negative stuff.
Evil, negative,
it's really mean
stuff.
And not truthful. And I was like, I don't need this. And it's actually my readers who sent me texts or private messages saying, we don't want to read your site with all these comments.
Al Gore didn't invent the internet for this.
Right. Right. I know. Oh well, let's end that on a nice note. I couldn't go to the wedding, so I was working because of Bruce's show, and it's so important, like, for you to. Bruce has so little of me, and he's such a great husband that I had to be here for my husband's
not in the
big
pants
weekend,
situation, though, right?
Darling. And so I couldn't be there, but the wedding was glorious. I just kissed and hugged Elvis, and he's flying high.
Oh,
he's
of course.
Happy.
Remember being on that high right after?
I'm still on it. I got married 6 years ago.
Yes, but not as much as you are.
I don't
are.
Know. I have a really lovely life.
I know you do.
Really,
I know
and
you do,
married
Rob
a, and may I just say, too, I saw wedding photographs, and you looked very dapper, my friend.
Thank
was that
much.
A salmon suit?
That, it was like a salmon pink suit.
Very, and a three-piece. I saw a waistcoat.
Oh, sweating
and
my balls off.
And your wife looked... Oh, that's nice.
Well, but it's
thank
true,
you.
Though,
I was going to talk about how beautiful your wife and your balls are now in part of the conversation.
It was very hot in a three-piece suit.
Thank you.
It was the wrong...
I don't...
I should have went two-piece.
You should have gone non-piece.
I should have went two-piece.
She wore your birthday suit.
No, not at all. That would have been rude.
Not at a wedding.
I've been shaved.
Your wife looked beautiful. What was your favorite moment of the wedding?
The favorite moment, just I think when Dr. Oz was sitting up there and he was giving the analogy of, you know, how they say 1 + 1 = 2, and he said that's faulty math, and everybody was like, "What is
Dr. Oz needs to get an abacus?
He's a doctor.
Where's he calculating? Stupid.
He shouldn't mess up math.
Yeah, stupid.
But he goes 1 + 1 = everyone."
It's awfully sweet.
Which I hit me home.
It's very sweet.
Holding my wife's hand.
Oh,
and
are you having another baby?
No way,
oh,
man. Shops
did you
closed.
Have sex at the wedding?
Of course. Many of times.
How many times?
During the wedding.
Oh, shut up.
Because
that's why your balls were sweaty.
Yeah, no, that was because I was wearing a three-piece suit. It was a bad move.
It was a bad
move.
Let's just tell everybody, the wedding was in Santa Fe.
It was in Santa Fe.
In September. And you decided I'm going to wear a wool three-piece salmon suit.
It was cotton, but the two-piece probably would have been the way to go, honestly. But the reception was in the hotel, so there was a very long extended time from the salad and the main course that no one knew what was going on. So we figured stuff to do.
Thank you very much.
There you go. That's how it happened during the wedding.
I hope you washed your hands.
Of course I did.
And everywhere else.
But, you know, just thinking about it now, taking off the three-piece suit.
And then I put it back on.
I had the option to take off the damn vest, yes. And I put it back on. You know why? Because I didn't want anybody to know.
No, I'm going to tell everybody.
I didn't want, well, it's too late now.
Oh, they all know.
Everybody knows now. It's out there.
Garrett had sex during the whole business.
That's why
wedding.
This is the 71st most.
71st! Let's try and get to 69. Boom.
Let's get to 69 or above. Thank you for listening. We appreciate this listening. listening to this dog and pony of a podcast. Thank you. Go see Rob Shooter's Husband's show.
Harmony.
Tickets on sale now. Rob Shooter will hire you on the spot if you go see
that's
the show.
Right. I'll buy your ticket.
You'll put him in the cast.
That's right.
No one's going to make money on the show.
Can't believe I went to the auditions. Whenever in my life, and I said this to Bruce last night, I was so grateful, but whenever in my life am I going to sit in on Broadway, New York?
Never.
And to see them come in, I was there for like 3 hours, and I saw people that were nervous. I knew the ones.
Did people think you were part of like
the
casting?
They did, and I kept looking at the floor. And there was one person who recognized me from doing TV stuff. And they were like, "Hi, Rob." And I was like, "I'm not here.
I'm not
to be invisible. I'm not judging this.
Put your hands
in front
of your face.
Stop looking at me." And there was one person who came in and sang directly to me and ignored the director, the writer. So I was like, "What's going on?"
Now, to see if I was your husband, if I was Bruce, I would take that person and say, "No."
Well, I said to Bruce,
"Never again
that
in
person
New York.
Should be hired immediately. Great taste.
Never here.
That's the most talented person I've ever
They're
met
going
in my life.
Straight to the
that
road
show. Talented person.
We're
I
putting
want
them on the national tour. Never in New York.
There's a lot of really talented people in New York.
Oh, well, you know, I can't wait to see the show. Congratulations.
Thank you, love.
Thank you for listening, and we will talk
Once
to you
Once again,
next
it has
week.
Nothing to do with me, but thank you very much.
Well, no problem.
I'll take credit
You're
for it.
It.
Thank you very much.
Guilty as charged.